John chapter 14, verse 16 and 17, then 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 12. But we're in an age of Twitter. Twitter, you can do how many letters or, 12, 19. It's only a line that you can do on Twitter. And that's because that's all people want to hear anyway. And on Facebook, it's only like three lines, and then you don't see it unless you click on it, then it'll show you the rest of it. And that's because that's all people want. They want instant gratification. They want instant information. And if you get too long, they just won't come back. And I'm a long-winded preacher. I know that. And the more I preach. I understand that. It's because I enjoy preaching. I don't endure it. I really enjoy it. So I find a lot to say. If your attention span is not long enough, then I would, suggest that you adjust your attention span. Because the Bible cannot be adjusted. I'm sorry. That's just the way it is. And so if your attention span won't let you, then you just hang on, okay? And all right. Now, I think I stalled long enough for us to get that recording going. 1 Corinthians, if you will. Let's start 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 12, I think it is. And I got to get over there myself, y'all. I'm getting Baz Holroyd up here. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, if I wrote it down right. Here I am. I didn't even turn to it. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 12 says, "For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ." Now, the reason I read you that is I want you to know we're not really Christ. Do y'all understand that? We are not really Christ. All of us members together are the body of Christ on planet Earth. We represent His body, but we're not Christ. Would you agree with me? Would you say that? If you wouldn't agree with that, you need some help, okay? All right, now turn back to John 14. John 14, verse 16 and 17. Jesus is talking, and He's getting His disciples ready. And He said, "I will pray the Father, and He shall give you another Comforter, that He may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of Truth," see that capital S, "even the Spirit of Truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth Him not, neither knoweth Him, but ye know Him, for He dwelleth with you, and shall be" what?
In you.
And we say, well, we know that Jesus and the Holy Spirit are the same and God's the same. But you realize that one day you prayed and you received the Lord as your Savior. And somebody probably told you Revelation 3:20, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I'll come into him." And somebody said, "Invite Jesus in." Well, you know, you can't invite Jesus in. Jesus sits on the right hand of the Father. Now you can invite Him into your life. You can invite Him to be a part of your life. But you do realize Jesus Himself does not personally come into you. You do understand that, don't you? If He did, He would not be sitting on the right hand of the Father interceding for everybody. Y'all understand? When we say invite Jesus in and the Holy Spirit comes in, His Spirit comes in. And that's what I want to talk to you tonight. Who is this Holy Spirit? He's the one that lives in me. And way back, and I heard this black preacher say this, he said way back in 1970-something, New York Times came out with a bunch of theologians have gotten together, the leaders of all religions of the world, and because things were so bad on planet Earth, they made a declaration that God is dead. And that was on the front page of New York Times. And this old black preacher said, somebody asked the old bishop, you know, of his denomination, said, "What do you think about that, bishop?" He said, "Well, I just got one question. If God is dead, who's just living way down in my soul?" And it's the Holy Spirit, okay? It's the Holy Spirit that lives in us. All right, let's pray before we go any farther. And amen. As I said, most people want the Twitter kind of Christianity. Just give me the skim off the top. Tonight, we're going to get down into the milk and the meat of the word. Turn to Genesis 1-2. Most of you already know it. You don't even have to turn there. And the earth was void, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. Who's the Holy Spirit? He's the one that took part in creation. He moved on the face of that water on earth. There was no land, and he moved on that. That was God, the Holy Ghost, moving, creating. You understand that? And then in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 11 says this. You're not going to be able to keep up with me. I'm going to go a little bit fast. I have them marked already. In verse 11, it says, "Certain what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ, which was in them, did signify when it testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow." The Holy Spirit is the author of the Bible. Before Jesus was ever born, he put into their hearts and minds, according to 2 Peter 1:21, holy men of old spake as they were moved by who? Not Jesus, not the Father, but as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. That don't mean they waited for a feeling to come on them. The Holy Ghost moved them to write it down. And so he's the creator. He's the author of the Bible. Who is this Spirit? In Luke 1:35, most of you already know it, but I'm going to read it. Luke 1:35, in the birth of Jesus, it says this, "And the angel answered and said unto her, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God." He took part in creation. He was the author of the Bible. He even took part in the ministry of Jesus Christ. He was part of his birth. He was part of his preaching. He was part of his teaching. And when he would preach, the Holy Ghost would work on people's hearts and their minds, just like he does now. Not only that, but have you ever heard anybody say that the Bible says he was full of the Holy Ghost? Now that's Jesus, going to be born full of the Holy Ghost. That's Jesus. That's two in one right there. And the Bible also says that he was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. Right. Now there they are again, two of them. So there are two distinct beings. There's two distinct beings, okay? Who is the Holy Ghost? He was the one that was in creation. He was the one that was in the author in the Bible. He was the one that took part in Jesus' ministry. Jesus cast out devils by the Holy Ghost. Jesus raised the dead by the Holy Ghost. And when he comes and rules and reigns again, he'll do it by the power of the Holy Ghost. Y'all still with me? I hadn't blown up your theology yet, have I? Okay, good. In the scriptures, he is called the Spirit of God, the Spirit of Christ, the Eternal Spirit, the Spirit of Truth, the Spirit of Glory, and the Comforter. He's called all those things. Now, that's a distinct person from the Lord Jesus Christ. So, who is he? He's the Comforter. He's the Spirit of Glory. He's the Spirit of Truth. He is the Eternal Spirit. He is the Spirit of Christ. He's the Spirit of God. The Bible names him these things. So he's distinct from the Lord himself. Now, I want you to know, and I said it last week, he's a real person. He's a real person. He's got real knowledge. He has the knowledge of God. That's how he wrote the Bible. He has real feelings. You can grieve him. So naturally, if he's got the feelings that you can grieve him, then you can please him too. Amen. And so he's got real feelings. He's got a will, just like a man. He's got a will. He knows what to get done. He knows what he wants done. He has no body, but he indwells bodies. Amen. He prays. The Bible says he prays for us with words that cannot be uttered. He guides us. He instructs us and He empowers us to live for God and to witness for God and to live right and talk right and walk right. The Holy Ghost of God empowers us. He's in us and He's working through us and in us. In Acts chapter 10, if you want to turn there, verse 38, I like this. Acts chapter 10, in verse 38, listen to this. It says, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. Did you notice who was anointed? Anointed. God. The Holy Ghost anointed God the Son, Jesus Christ, and He went with Him, and it says He went about with Him, doing good, casting out devils. Now, that's the Holy Spirit in and on Jesus Christ. Boy, ain't that something? Two whole different people, but one at the same time. Okay? John 14 again. Look at verse 16 and 17 again. In John 14, verse 16, 17. He says, and I will pray the Father, and He shall give you another comforter that He may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth. And then in John 20, 20, if you'll look just a couple pages over, John 20, 20, I ain't going too fast, Emma. I'm trying not to run out of film. They told me we was recording this thing. John 20, 20. I sound like Joe Biden on him. This title then read many of the Jews. I'm sorry, I'm on the wrong 20. Yeah. There you go. Help me, Lord. I can't see through cataracts. And when he had said so, when he had so said, he showed unto them his hands and his side, and their disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. Now, He is in the Lord. He's part of the Lord, but He is not the Lord. They didn't see a spirit that day. They saw a body. His name was Jesus. Amen. So we know the Holy Ghost and Jesus are two distinct bodies. Amen? Come on, help me here. He's not just some spooky power floating out there or Star Wars, the Force, you know, that you can, and by the way, Star Wars got all that stuff from the Hindus. And, it's not just something you can tap into and pull down like some of these cults think. He is a person. And Jesus is a person. And they're two different people. In John 14, He says, I'm going to send to you the Spirit. In John 20, 20, it says, the Lord. Two different things. Amen? All right. Now, He makes the body of a Christian His temple. Amen. He makes the body of a Christian His temple. In 1 Corinthians 6:19, He tells those Corinthians, the most world, I used to think they were the most worldly Christians ever lived, but now that I look at the crowd we're amongst these days, and I realize the Corinthians was doing pretty good compared to this crowd. Amen? Amen. Well, 1 Corinthians chapter 6, look at verse 19. 1 Corinthians, where am I? I lost my page again. There it is. Verse 19. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God, and you're not your own. Now, He dwells within the believer. Now, listen to this and listen close. In the Old Testament, He came upon people. He came upon, not in people, not in people. He came upon people. And in the New Testament, He comes into people. Amen? Amen. Now, why is that? Well, in the Old Testament, we hadn't seen the Savior yet. The Savior had not come and paid the sin debt, and now in the New Testament, He has. Now, so, I said it a while ago, a lot of times, we'll invite Jesus into our heart. Now, if you did that, you got saved. Don't think you didn't. You did. You got saved. I'm not putting down your salvation. But, Jesus did not come into your heart. At one of the Trinity did, one of God entities, and Revelation 3, if you look, I think I marked it right, Revelation 3, verse 21. Revelation 3, verse 21. To him that overcometh, will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father in his throne.
Yes.
Now you see that? Jesus is sitting in heaven. We say, well, we want to invite Jesus to come down. There's a song says, you know, we'll invite Jesus to come down. Well, I know what you mean, and I said this morning, he's touched me. But it's the Holy Ghost that comes down, not Jesus. Jesus sits on for us. He's always our advocate, our lawyer, our intercessor. The Holy Ghost deals with us. You could say he's his assistant, his secretary. He does the grunt work. He comes down and deals with us. Amen. And he lives in us. But God is the Father. And then, if you will, if I can find Hebrews. In Hebrews, and I'm not going to turn there. I'm getting low on time. But it says that he's high priest in Hebrews chapter 4. He's the high priest. Now, that means that he holds the priestly office that makes intercession for sinners. And so while he's doing that, he can't be down here convicting you of sin or motivating you to do right or comforting you when you've had a loss or something. He's in heaven with the Father in the place of a high priest interceding for you. And the Holy Ghost of God is the one that comforts you and convicts you and converts you and all those things. That's the Holy Spirit does that. Now, you preach this in the average Baptist church. Nowadays, they'll call you Pentecostal because this is a little bit longer than you can get on Twitter. Amen. It's a little bit deeper than Facebook. But I want to get it through you before we jump into next week. Next week, I'm going to preach on the Holy Spirit's daily work in the Christian's life. What does the Holy Ghost do in my life every day? I'm going to talk to you about that. And then the next week, I want to teach you how to recognize the Holy Ghost. When you see what's happening, you recognize him in it or him in you. And then the next week, I want to preach on how to be, and hold on to your hat, this word, baptized in the Holy Ghost. Not possessed by, you're already possessed by. And so, just as a little glimpse of that, I want you to turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, if you will. First Corinthians chapter 12, which I marked as chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And I think it's verses 12 and 13. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. In verse 12, it says, for as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. So we're members of the body of Christ. But verse 13, for by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into what? One Spirit. Now, when we think of baptism, what do we think about? We think about the water baptism, where you take the disciple, the person that's received Christ, and you lower them into that water. Now, it's not just that you lower them into the water, but the word baptized means to immerse or surround. So they're being surrounded by that water. So actually, you're becoming part of the water. You've been baptized into the water. You're becoming part of that pool of water. Do y'all understand what I'm saying? Maybe you're building a building. Did you know when you put that brick in that line of bricks, you're baptizing that brick into that building? It's going to be surrounded by and immersed in and covered up with other bricks. Well, that's what the Holy Ghost does for us. He baptizes us into the body of Christ. That's what the baptism represents, and the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. So he puts us where we ought to be by putting us into the body of Christ. Now, the charismatic uses the word baptized in the Holy Ghost to mean that you've been filled with the Holy Ghost. And they've gotten it a little bit mixed up, but I'm going to help you with that next week, I think, or either the next. And so here's what I wrote down. Not as some use it as being filled with the Holy Ghost. Now, if you turn on Jimmy Swaggart, and he's a nice guy. I got nothing against Jimmy Swaggart. I think he's a man of God. I don't always agree. Well, I know I don't agree with him losing his salvation, and I don't agree with him speaking in other tongues. But basically, he's a fundamental Bible believer. He should be a Baptist. He will be when we get to heaven, so I can be patient with that. But and I know he's had failures, but God brought him through it, and repentance and things like that. But when he talks about being baptized with the Holy Ghost, with the evidence of speaking in unknown tongues, there's no such verse in the Bible. There is no verse. There is no hint of any such doctrine in the Bible. And I'm going to show you how they got confused on that. Within the next few weeks, I'm going to show you where all that started. That didn't even start till 1907. And I'm going to show you where that idea came from and how it got twisted, baptism. And what they really mean is filled. See? Now, so he baptizes us into the body of Christ. Then in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, and I'm almost through, 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 21 and 22. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. There it is. Verse 21 and 22. Chapter 1, verse 21 and 22. Now he which established us with you in Christ and hath anointed us is God, who hath also sealed us and given us the earnest of the Spirit in our hearts. Did you know he is our earnest? You go to buy a house. And maybe some other things too. I don't know if they call it that on, most time they call it down payment. But on a house, if you're serious about buying a house, you give them a little money. While you go to the bank, it's called earnest money. And what that means is you're earnest about this thing. You're serious about it. You're not playing around. Do you understand that?
Yes, sir.
It's the same way with salvation. God gave us the Holy Ghost in us to show us that he's serious about this thing.
Amen.
He's not playing around. And he left part of himself here in me to seal me into heaven. I'm already sealed. So he's my earnest, and a portion of that payment is already paid. So I don't have to go to heaven and say, well, I don't know if I can make this or not. He's going to say, you don't have to worry about it. It's already paid.
Amen.
And I know it is because the Holy Ghost is in you.
Yes.
See that? And then I go a little bit farther. It says that he's the seal of our salvation. Now, most of you are older folks like I am. And my mama used to make jam and jelly. Did your mama ever make jam and jelly? Did she ever can stuff in jars, mason jars?
Yes.
Mayonnaise jars, peanut butter jars, any jar we could get. Amen. Mason jars cost. So my mama would make stuff and she'd put it in that jar and she'd put it in her hot. And I never could understand it, but she always had some wax and she would melt that wax and pour it over top of it before she put the lid on. I couldn't understand that to save my life. Now I look back on it, she was sealing it.
Yeah.
Now she could have put that lid on there tight as she wanted to, but it never would have gotten tight enough. You ever open something that the lid, it had a lid on it, tight as it could get, but didn't have any seal on it, and you open it up, it's bad. You know, it lasts a little while. But mom would go back in that pantry a year later and open up something, you know, maybe 2 years later and open it up. We've got two or three jars at the house. My mother-in-law used to make jams and stuff and take them to the York County Fair. And she'd win prizes. We got a couple of them at the house. It's got blue ribbons on them and stuff, you know, still got them. And, but see, if you don't seal it, it's not going to last. Now, I'm afraid a lot of people said they asked Jesus to come in But they never really invited the Holy Spirit in because they really didn't mean to Jesus. They were just looking for a fire escape or something to save their marriage or something to save their bank account. Y'all know what I'm talking about?
Yes, sir.
And so they thought just because they said a prayer, Jesus come into my heart, that they were going to be all right. But I got news for you. If that wasn't serious, the Holy Ghost of God did not come in that heart and did not seal that deal.
Yes.
That's why they're so easily led astray. That's why they so easily quit and give up, because they don't have the earnest in them. Y'all see what I'm talking about? The Holy Ghost lives in us. And if you don't have Him in you, you're not saved. And you don't have to invite Him to come in to save you. He does that when you get saved.
Amen.
He and He baptizes you into the body of Christ. But He don't stop there. He becomes your earnest for heaven. And He seals you. Your destination is sealed. And, of course, in the Bible, that's what they meant. That king would have a ring, or he'd have a stamp or something, you know. And they'd seal that contract with some kind of wax, usually red or something. I know you've seen it on TV. And on here was his insignia. Maybe it might be his family crest. Yeah, that's a good word. Thank you. And he'd take that and he'd stamp it down into that wax and seal it. And what it was saying was, nobody can open this until it gets to its rightful destination. Amen. And that's why Jesus said, you're in my hand, my hand's in the Father's hand, and no man can pluck you out. The Holy Ghost has sealed me. I can't go to hell. I can't even be opened until I get to heaven. Amen. Amen. I can't, this thing can't hear right here, cannot open until the Holy Ghost of God breaks that seal and takes me to glory. Well, that's enough to make a Presbyterian shout right there. Amen. And, by the way, the jams and the jellies had nothing to do whether or not they stayed fresh. The seal did. The jam and jelly would have went bad without the seal. Amen. Boy, y'all ought to be jumping pews right now. I'm telling you, He's our earnest, our portion of the payment until we arrive in heaven. He's our seal of salvation. We can never be lost. Woo, man. I remember I'd been saved a few weeks, maybe a few months. Well, a few months. We've been trying to go to church, you know, and not going to church all your life. It's hard to get in that routine, you know, and we finally was getting in it. And I found myself saying things and thinking things, you know, and I went to my pastor. I said, Pastor, I just don't know. I don't know if this, preacher, is this right? Am I really saved? And he looked at me and said, welcome to the club. He said, you know what you're learning? I said, what? He said, you're learning you ain't the one getting you to heaven. He is. Boy, that helped me so much. It didn't justify any of my wrong. It didn't give me a license to sin. It gave me an inspiration not to.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. And so God, the Holy Ghost, sealed me. March the 5th, 1978, when I walked down that aisle, before I ever even made it down and said the prayer, God knows the thoughts and the intents of your heart, I was saved before I ever got down that aisle that day. Amen? And we try to go through the scriptures and pray with people to make sure that we know what they're doing and they know what they're doing. And I did. And the man with me could tell that I knew what I was doing. But I was saved before I ever got to the front.
Oh, yeah.
The Ethiopian eunuch never prayed and asked Jesus into his heart. Can you find anything in Acts chapter 8, I think it was. Can you find anything where the Ethiopian eunuch ever prayed and asked Jesus into his heart? No. Philip looked at, he looked at Philip after Philip read him Isaiah 53. He said, who's he talking about? Him or somebody else that's to come? And Philip preached unto him Jesus. And then the eunuch said, look here, there's some water. Ain't that strange? Out there in the middle of the desert, there's a baptistry. And he said, look, there's some water. What hinders me from being baptized? And what the eunuch was saying, why couldn't I be baptized? He'd seen people baptized, undoubtedly. And what did Philip say? This is all he said. If thou believest, thou mayest. And he said, I believe. And it says they both went down into the water. Amen?
Amen.
Jesus is not the one that comes into your heart. God, the Holy Ghost, is the one that comes in. And by the way, you wouldn't want to be saved if the Holy Ghost wasn't dealing with you.
Amen.
Amen. He said, no man can come to the Father except the Spirit draw him. Did you know that? You wouldn't even want to be saved. You remember, and some of you don't because you got saved when you were young, but a lot of us older ones, we remember those nights and those days where it bothered us so bad that we were not saved. I remember weeping over it. I'm not saved. I'm going to go to hell. My wife and kids are going to leave. They're going to go to heaven. I'm going straight to hell. I don't want to go to hell. I don't know what to do, you know. And see, that was God, the Holy Ghost, in my mind and in my heart and in my spirit, drawing me to himself. See. And Sister Mary, I heard your testimony, and we'll sit here and give our testimony, and we'll preach, and people just sit there and go, what? What? How can that be? What? They've never felt the drawing of the Holy Ghost of God to the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, he's the one that draws you to Jesus.
Yes.
And we preach about Jesus. Jesus said, if I be lifted up, I'll draw all men unto me. But he meant it's the Holy Ghost. He's in heaven sitting on the right hand of the Father. And what he was meaning was they're all the same. He was saying, my spirit's going to draw your spirit to me. He's not here to make you see some kind of giant statue, and he's not here to make you hear voices and dream dreams and all this stuff. He is here to glorify the Son.
Yes, sir.
Amen. Romans 8:3, and I'll quit. Romans 8:3. I've only done about half of what I got here. Romans 8:3 says this. He says, for what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the
Spirit.
For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the
Spirit.
The things of the
Spirit.
There it is.
Yes.
There it is. You know, I heard this guy say something one time. I've been to camp meetings. I've been to revivals. I've been to Bible conferences. I've been to all kinds of things. I've seen people jump pews, cut flips, do cartwheels. I've seen them scream and holler, and I got nothing against that if God the Spirit moves you to do that. But usually he moves on me with a still small voice.
Amen.
And I start crying. I say, God, I can't even talk sometimes. He gets to messing with me. Amen. That's the Spirit, hold on. And I tried speaking in tongues, and the Holy Spirit rebuked me and said, you don't need to do that. Get up and go on. I just filled you. And I went down at the jailhouse and preached, and people got saved. That's what it's all about right there. Now, I want you to meet in the next few Sunday nights. I want you to meet the Holy Spirit. I want you to get to where you'll just talk to him. I walk around and talk to him.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Brother Billy or somebody said something this morning about putting something on Facebook. I said, well, let me tell you something. It said they didn't want their daddy to, or mom or somebody to know what they put on Facebook or something. I said, then you better never friend your pastor on Facebook. I said, cause I'll tell it. I'll tell it. And I'll pray for you. I'll say, Lord, did you see what they put on Facebook? Amen. Amen. And, but let me tell you something. Whether I see it or not, God the Holy Ghost sees everything. Amen. And a lot of times we are, like Amanda in the hospital tonight, gonna get that fluid drawn off. Thank God we live where that can happen, by the way. God did that. Amen. Amen. But you know, we think about that, and then God the Holy Ghost, if we'll listen to him, he'll say, I got this.
Yes.
I got this. Now I know y'all know Miss Hazel. She's a simple, simple woman. She's very simple, hard working, loved her children, loved her grandchildren, loved her husband. First time I ever met her husband, he'd start telling me stories about running liquor when he was a little boy and having moonshine, you know, making a steal when he was a little boy, and how his daddy would beat him and make him do all that stuff. And I thought, this is one heck of a man. But you know what? I looked at Miss Hazel and I thought, how in the world did you live with somebody like that all those years? And then I thought this, she simply follows the Lord the best way she knows how. And you know what she tells me all the time? She'll say, preacher, pray for me and Ed, or pray for this, pray for that. And then she'll say, but don't worry about preacher. I know Jesus has got this. And he does. Jesus has got this. But I want you to remember, he's not coming off his throne to do it. He's going to send his Holy Ghost to do it. Amen? Amen. But you'll know he's the one that did it. Amen. So meet the Holy Spirit this week. Would you talk to him this week? Get off somewhere, get to pray and talk to the Holy Spirit. Amen. Ask him to fill you with his presence and his power. That's what we're lacking.
Yes.
Let's stand. Father, thank you that you convict, you convert, you comfort, you disciple us, you lead us, you guide us, you correct us, you chasten us, you comfort us through your Holy Ghost, through your presence, your Spirit here on planet Earth. Now, God, fill us this week.
Yes, Lord.
Fill every one of us, God. And let us go out of here that when people see us, they'll see Christ.
Yes.
And when they hear us, they'll hear Him. And Lord, they won't get convicted because it's us. They'll get convicted because the Holy Ghost in us convicted them. And that we can make those disciples you commanded us to make. And let us come back Sunday bringing our sheaves with us. Let's walk in the Spirit, talk in the Spirit, look and see in the Spirit, think in the Spirit, behave in the Spirit. And I know the world will call us names. And they'll call us Pentecostal and Holy Roller and everything else. But God, I don't care what the world says. I'm more concerned about what the Holy Ghost in me thinks.
Amen.
So help us, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's sing a hymn.
Turn to 298.